back, everybody, to the Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network, on Twitter at FFR Podcast, and remember to send your questions and suggestions to FFNQuestions@gmail.com. Also, remember, we are part of 1893 Coalition that consists of Intellectual Nonsense and the Enthusiast Project. Again, this is Freeform Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Noel, and to my right I have...
Burnt Up Andy.
And over here it's Daniel.
Well, it's good to have all of us together again for another episode. And let's go ahead and get started with the updates for the week. I heard you had an interesting week, Andy.
Yeah, we were planning, me and Danny went on a mini road trip out to Michigan. A couple weekends ago, I went to the Indiana Dunes, and we had plans to travel to Star Rock this past Friday, but once we talked about the weather, where it was going to be like 100 degrees plus, that kind of scared everyone, because like, that's not hiking weather. That's like, I'm going to pass out and die weather.
No, for sure, man.
Especially for people who ain't in the best shape.
I was looking forward to Star Rock, but yeah, once we heard about 100, I'm like, nah, man, that's a little pushing it, especially for us that we're out of shape. We're just going to just go chill and, you know, do a little mini hike, but nah, 100 degrees, that's definitely not enjoyment weather.
So we were talking about, you know, going to Michigan, apparently, Warren State Park, and they have dunes out there, and it was a pretty good trip. Once we get it's another about 40 minutes or so from the Indiana Dunes State Park, but the beach was pretty huge, and the dunes were even bigger, so... a lot better than I thought it was going to be. They could upgrade their facilities, though, but I have a feeling that's something to do with the state of Michigan kind of being broke right now.
Yeah, I know, man. Their bathrooms were terrible, man.
Yeah, the only complaint I saw on all the websites is their facilities weren't the best.
Yeah, I went to go use the bathroom. I don't know if it was that chicken salad or whatever it was that we were having to eat to lunch on. But, man, I needed to go use the bathroom. And when I went, man, if there's a half ply, that's what this was, man. There wasn't even a single ply. It was terrible. It was like see-through, and it was like so narrow. I had to wrap it like 10 times around my arm just to get a good, you know, one single wipe on me.
Was it BYOT? Bring your own toilet paper?
I think next time for sure, man. I didn't know it was going to be that bad, so next time for sure, it's something to do.
Yeah, that's the only thing I read about was the facilities weren't the best compared to Indiana, which was like top-notch, high-end. Spacious, water was nice, everything was clean. Then when we got there, I saw one, when we got there, it was like everything was closed off. They had the second one, they were building something new, it looked like, and then the third one was like far away, and then they had porta-johns.
Yeah.
And they were tipped over. And they had one that didn't tip over. Apparently they had a bad storm the night before, and so it was all right, but otherwise the park is beautiful. The dunes were like massive compared to the Indiana ones. I was shocked how tall they were, and kids were just running up to the top of this thing, and it was more scenic than the Indiana one because you actually saw nature. And the Indiana one, you see the skylines like factories, and a little bit of the Chicago skyline here is just the water and a lot of trees and. It was beautiful. I liked it. And the water was just right. And the best part, there was no lifeguard, so you could kind of swim far out. But then somehow they knew when you swam out a little far, you heard the voice from the sky, come back, asshole. You went out too far.
No, for sure, man. It was a great time, actually. I wasn't expecting that much. I was keeping my expectations low. But, man, it was great. The water, the sand. And like you said, it was just like the atmosphere, the vista. It was an awesome time. I really liked it, and I know my wife liked it a lot as well.
Now, did you guys have to pay to get in?
There was like a flat fee. I don't know if it's per vehicle or per person, but I think it was $9.
It was per vehicle.
Per vehicle, yeah.
They ask you like where do your plates on your vehicle stay? And I always wonder like if I say like Michigan, is she gonna walk up front and look at it? Because if you're in state, it's cheaper from than out of state. And then I told her, like, we're from Indiana. And she's like, sorry, still, this is your price. Like, she didn't even look. So I'm like, man, I could have said Michigan. I think she wouldn't even care. So, I don't know. But it's not as It's worth the whatever. I think it was like $9 or something.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
How was that compared to the Indiana one, though?
The Indiana Dunes was a little bit more expensive. It was like a couple bucks more. But like I said, it's...
That's where the toilet paper comes in.
Yeah, right? Dude. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like you're a customer. The facilities were great. They were new. The only problem with Indiana is their beach section where you could actually swim was kind of small. And compared to the Michigan one, you had basically the whole length of the park for you to swim at. And it was pretty good. And the beach was wide open. And people are all up and down the beachfront. So it wasn't too bad. There's definitely more room at the Michigan one.
No, it was a great time, man. I really enjoyed it. And we got to plan another trip soon. And even though it was 100 degrees out there, man, it was great, man. We got into the beach and got into the lake. And, man, you cooled off and then go hang out underneath your umbrella. And it was nice, man. It was real chill.
Now, remember, if you guys do go out there, you can't bring alcohol, you can't grill, no dogs, but let's just say we broke one of the three, but we were all right.
Yeah we survived. Yeah, we found a way around the system.
There are park rangers on ATVs, four-wheelers, driving up and down.
I was surprised, man. Yeah,
and that was the only shocking part. In Indiana, you didn't have none of that. They just had lifeguards. In Michigan, they had a lot of park rangers just going up and down, and that was it, and a couple of them were driving real slow. But, yeah, other than that, after that, we enjoyed the day. I got to finish my Sopranos. I rewatched the whole 6 seasons, and even the season where I thought it wasn't the best, I was shocked. I didn't find it as boring as on this run with the whole Vito gay mob guy thing. It wasn't as much as I remember. Like, I remember that whole season was just, like, about him and how they're going to take care of him. And, but other than that, Tony, Chris, like, yeah, you do see that's like a family. To them, it's family. And it was great to rewatch it again. I was shocked. Not shocked, but I just, sometimes you forget how good shows are. And I finished watching the last season, they were talking about like 9/11 and all this. Dude, it's been, that show ended like in 2006, like I think a little bit before that. Dude, that show ended 10 years ago and it still holds up. But one of my biggest things with that show was the ending with Tony and that diner scene. And when I first watched...
Spoilers for anybody out there.
Come on, dude. The show ended 10 years ago, man.
I'm just letting people know, man.
Dude, we're living in an instant age. You don't even got to wait for DVDs. You can watch it whenever you want. You got the HBO app. Pop it in, man. Just start playing it. Hell, they had the show on reruns on AMC or A&E for a while. But regardless, yeah, spoiler alert. The ending is very cinematic. There's a lot of like underlying tones of... you know, where everything's positioned down to the music, the way the camera shot, it was different. And always when I first watched it, I remember like, man, I don't get this. Then I rewatched it again a while back and I'm like, okay, all this shit has meaning. I kind of figured out a couple things, but then on this last one, when I rewatched it again this week, I caught some more things, and I'm like, that perspective when Tony sees people walking in the door, that's you're looking at that door as Tony, and that's when it started to make a little bit more sense to me. And so I'm like, I gotta know what all this shit means. So I had to go look up on YouTube, and I saw what everything meant, and now the ending makes more sense. I mean, if you want me to tell you guys, basically I think Tony got shot at the end.
There was a guy that seemed like he was there.
Yeah, the members, the thing they brought it up when I first noticed that he has a members only jacket. And a lot of people who have, who are killers in that show or like they're hitmen have members only jackets.
Oh, do they? I never noticed that.
Dude, I noticed that. And when they're doing hits, they have members only jackets. And the guy that walked in had a members-only jacket. And that thing on this last one, like, that stuck out to me. And then on this guy in this video, he points that out. He has a members-only jacket. When the guy that shoots Vito, or not Vito, Sill, had a members-only jacket. The guy that killed somebody else, who did some hits for Chris and Tony, had a members-only jacket. And it goes on and on. But so, and then that perspective, when it went, you hear the music stop and it goes dark. And you have... you see what you see is Metal walking in the door, and it just stops. That's they claim that's when Tony got shot, because you're watching that door through his perspective, through his eyes. So when everything stops, it's like, well, there he died, and then the show ends like that. And to me, that made more sense. So I always wonder, well, they're gonna bring the show back, they're gonna make a movie, and then after Gandolfini died, I'm like, they're not gonna make it. But you already got your answer right there. The show. The star of the show, or the main character, is dead.
Well, I think they definitely probably played it up where there was a chance for a movie or for another special season.
It was open-ended.
Yeah. But I kind of liked it. I kind of liked it that they left the ending to me to kind of figure out. It's tough to end the show, man. And people get hated on a lot. Shows could be great. Dexter was, to me, a great show, and a lot of people hated the ending. There's tons of stuff like that where people just hate on the ending.
Like I said, it's real quick, and the Sopranos, there's still a lot of open-ended questions. One of them was one of the characters in the show, Carlo, he flipped. And in that episode, you see Tony talking to his lawyer, like, dude, they're preparing grand indictments. He's like, they're coming after you. So they're already, he was going to get indicted. He's like, this is what we've been planning. This is, trials are there to be won. Tony already knew, like, this shit's coming to get them. So, and rewatch it. It's a great show. I got them all on DVDs. I've been debating if I should upgrade to the Blu-ray, but right now I feel with the DVDs, I'm happy with it. And real quick, we got the Republicans nomination with Trump. There's a lot of controversy with Trump. I watched his speech.
Well, there's a lot of controversy with both candidates.
With both. I mean, they're horrible selections this year. And people are like, with the Ted Cruz speech that they allowed to give me, the deal was he was supposed to endorse Trump. He didn't. People started booing him. But regardless, Trump, the speech, he did not give, like, no... I mean, they generally never do, but his speech was... he's just shitting on Obama and the Clintons. And he's saying he's going to fix things, but like always, they say they're going to fix stuff, but they don't tell you the details. And I'm starting to see that's where a lot of people are saying, like, well, he's just shitting on everything there. He's not giving you solutions. Well, generally, all campaigns do that. But, I mean, he does talk about, you know, Israel, a lot of, like, taboo subjects. The Clintons, he basically said, you know, she broke the law with the email stuff. No one's going after her. They're above the law, you know. People like us, we're going to get screwed over and people going nuts. But we'll see what's going to happen. I didn't like his vice president pick, the guy from Indiana. The only thing is good about him, he's a financially conservative. I mean, Indiana's not broke like a lot of their neighboring states, so they're doing something right. And the Indiana Park bathrooms clearly show that.
No, it was
the
weird.
Dunes Park.
When we were on the expressway, I saw multiple signs that said, Indiana, we budget or something.
Our state, we have a balanced budget.
Balanced budget,
which
that's
Illinois
what it was.
Hasn't had a balanced budget in like
there was like
three,
billboards everywhere, scattered throughout the expressway, and it would just be like, Indiana, the state with a balanced budget, or something like
but
that.
But Indiana's not... like the best. Yes, they offer a lot of incentives for corporations to go there, but yet you still see them leaving. Like Carrier in Indianapolis, they're going to Mexico. I mean, but, you know, again, I'm probably not going to vote this year, but the Trump, I get why he's so popular, because he's saying stuff that that base wants to hear, and no one else is saying it. So it's like rhetoric, and... I don't know. So it just like always, I can't wait to hear what Hillary says, because I know a lot of people are, well, Hillary's better. Like, I think she's worse than freaking Trump, but and she has a worse past than Trump. So it's going to be interesting to see how this ends up. But check out the speech. There's a lot of rhetoric. It went kind of long, but, you know, it is what it is. At least listen and get pissed off and don't just be like, oh, fuck Trump, I don't like him. And listen to him, then get pissed off. At least you know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, I was kind of aiming towards Cruz myself. And then when he came out and did his speech, yeah. Like you said, he didn't endorse Trump. People are saying that he got booed, but I listened to that audio, and to me, it didn't sound like boos.
What
it
happened
sounded
is,
more like cheers, you know. There were some people cheering, and, you know, they were happy that he said, you know, vote with your conscience or something. I don't remember the exact verbiage, but something like vote for the best candidate, you know, kind of insinuating maybe both of them suck and there's not really a good one.
It's just the usual party BS. He did not trash Trump, but he did not endorse him, but he was saying stuff like, yeah, vote where you're conscious, vote what's right for the Constitution, vote for freedom, which is not bad things to say, but the whole deal, the reason he was up there, it's like background crap. We're gonna put you up there, but you gotta endorse Trump. He agreed to it and he didn't do it, so now that's why they're like, what the hell, dude, this is not part of the deal. And but like I said, Cruz is he's a little weird, man. He's like a robot, you know. And I know he has connections to the Clintons. His, like, wife used to work for him or something. On top of it, Cruz wasn't even born here. He was born in Canada.
Nothing wrong with our Canadian people either.
Well, you can't, nothing wrong with that, but you can't be president if you weren't born here.
It might be my new home, depending on who's president, dude.
But, Noel, jumping into your week, man, you mentioned that you're planning on start juicing again, man. You're going to get back into that routine.
Yeah, I kind of took a break for a little bit. You know, you kind of miss some foods when you go on a juicing diet. But, yeah, I've enjoyed enough food for a while. It's time to start getting back in serious mode with the juicing. And especially considering what we're going to be talking about today, I was considering possibly trying a different diet, try to be a vegetarian or vegan diet. But after informing myself and everything, I realized that's not exactly the approach that I need. It's more about, it's more about having balance. And juicing is an easier way to do that. You know, I like vegetables and fruits, but it's just hard to get the amount that you need through actual, like, full food. Like, when you juice it, it's much quicker. It's like, more concentrated, more volume in a smaller amount, it seems like. So I'm going to go back to juicing, see how it goes, and I'll keep you guys updated on that. I'm on a little experiment, I should say, so we'll see how it works.
Real quick, when you juice, so let's say you juice carrots, is there like always like a base fruit that you're supposed to put when you make all that juice?
You know, everyone's different. I'm sure some people would say you have to do this or you have to do that, but I think it's all up to your preference, your taste. For me, like, I don't like using bananas. There's certain fruits that I don't like using that they recommend, and I'm like, I just don't like mixing certain things. But carrots, it's amazing. You could do carrots and berries. That's kind of what I usually do. I'll do blackberries. They're my favorite, dude, top notch. So I'll do blackberries. I'll do some carrots, kale, spinach, and then sometimes tomato. It all depends.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I figured that you would put, like, a tomato or something, or like carrot or kale or spinach or something, and then you put all like the stuff that you really want to taste.
Yeah.
All that stuff sounds good, man, but it sounds better like on a salad with some dressing and boom, and you throw that shit down.
Some bacon bits on there too.
It just takes too long to eat, man, and then it's tiresome to set it all up. I just want to freaking grind it, drink it, and be done with it.
No, I hear that. I hear that. I'm just saying all that. I'm a big veggie guy. I love veggies. Mm-hmm. But I like eating it. I like a great salad. I like the what's that salad place? The buffet?
Sweet Tomatoes.
Sweet Tomatoes, man. I love that place, man. Shit's good, man.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, you go eat a salad, and then they got soups, and then, like, different kinds of breads. Maybe not the most healthiest because they do put, like, a lot of toppings and the dressings and all that stuff. So
where's that
at? They got quite a few. There's a you know, they got a chain of them, but Lombard and Schomburg, those are the two that I usually frequent. Man, it's great, man. You walk in, you get a big salad, and then after you sit down, you can go get soup, pizza. The soup's the big part. They got, like, you know, 8 different soups that you can eat. Menudo sometimes. They got pozole. Yeah, it's some good stuff, man.
Yeah, I'll pick up some broccoli soup if I get a chance.
No, broccoli soup. And there's people that buy these, like, jug containers, and they take, you know, like, soup home because the soup is actually really good.
I'm going to have to do that. And one other thing I've been doing recently is I started up this new TV show called Outcast. It's on Cinemax, and it's a decent show. You know, right now on IMDb, if you go to the website, it's got about an 8, you know, out of 10. When that's about with, like almost 10,000 viewers, I think, it, of course, a lot of more people watch it, but it's not that many people that are reviewing it right now. And it's a decent show, man. If you guys get a chance to watch it, you should definitely set aside some time. It's about an hour each episode. Right now it's on the 7th episode. And
right.
It's about a guy who, as a child, he has an interesting experience with, like, a demonic possession. His mother becomes possessed, like, out of nowhere, and she changes from a loving mother to a really almost psychotic one. And she'll lock him up in the closet and just really treat him bad. At a certain point, he fights back, and when he does, something happens that comes in contact with her, and it forces the demon out. So he has some kind of ability to be able to exercise a demon without any kind of chanting or any kind of religion or anything like that. It's just him, his body, his essence is something that forces the demon out of his mom's soul. And after that, she's left in a comatose state, and she ends up being in a hospital the rest of her life. And he grows up, he ends up moving in with a foster family. He grows up, goes to college, has a job, has a family. And one day he comes home to visit his, you know, comes home from work, and he finds that there's a mess in his house. He has a daughter and he has a wife, and he finds that the daughter's screaming, she's scared, and the wife is possessed now. So somehow this whatever you like demon like hierarchy is following him and his family, and now has infected his wife. He ends up having to defend his daughter by pretty much taking out the threat, which was his wife. And he's fighting this demon that he fought with his mom once before. But once everything is said and done, and she's, you know, neutralized, I guess, she's still alive and everything, but she's really damaged physically. And when the cops show up, it looks like physical abuse. The daughter's too young to know what's going on, so she doesn't say anything. And the wife wakes up all messed up, and she's not possessed anymore. And to her, it's him beating her up. But he knows the truth. He knows that a demon possessed her. His wife was trying to kill the daughter, and he saved both of them, essentially. But the police didn't see it that way, so he got incarcerated. He finally got let go, but his wife wants nothing to do with him. His daughter, like, loves him still because she doesn't know better. And so they separated from him. He's not allowed to see him anymore. And he goes back to his old house back in the, you know, the small village or small town that he lived in with his mom. His mom's in a hospital now, though, so he has the house to himself. And his foster family is still keeping in contact with him and trying to get him to get back going because he lost his job, obviously. He lost everything, pretty much. He lost everything he had. And so the story is about him trying to make it back into society. But the thing is, the town that he went back to, there's a lot more people possessed than people are led to believe. And the reverend of that city or that town, he kind of tries to get his help because he knows he has some kind of ability. And when he actually goes to help the reverend do an exorcism, he realizes that he has this power to be able to exorcise demons. And it's kind of crazy. Like, I'm giving you a lot of info right here, but if you watch it, it's spread out and it's really well done. Like, the direction is good. The acting is decent. Scripts is there. And it's worth a shot, you know. It kind of has a creepy atmosphere. It's not like supernatural or anything like that. It's more like a Dexter type of show.
No, cool, man. It does sound kind of interesting. I like those spooky TV shows.
What channel is this on again?
Cinemax.
Oh, okay.
So they show a lot of naked chicks and stuff?
Actually, not too much on that. I mean, I don't watch Cinemax very often. I find a stream and, you know, some place to get it from, but...
Not cool, yeah, man.
I know, like, the Exorcist is coming back to the TV show. Supposedly at the San Diego Comic-Con, they showed a trailer for the Exorcism, the TV show.
Interesting.
Usually exorcisms do involve beating the shit out of the person that's possessed.
Yeah, I have seen some funny memes on that, yeah.
Well, you'll see. He has to, in the first episode, so much happens, dude. It's crazy.
No, well, for me, man, I didn't watch anything that demonic or that creepy. I watched, actually, Civil War, the Captain America movie.
Nice.
Finally got around to that, but, man, it was, I know it's been out for a bit now. But, yeah, I finally got a chance to see it with Junior and Alana, and I got to be honest, man, I had my hypes up really high for this because everybody kept saying that battle scene is the best and the whole movie is great and blah, blah, blah. And by no means is it bad, but it's, to me, it's not a great movie. It's good, or maybe even a little peg above good. But, yeah, I didn't really care too much for the whole story. To be honest, even now that it's been a week or so that I've seen it, I can't even really remember half the stuff that was in it. I do remember the whole battle scene, and that was pretty cool. I don't know if you guys saw it. Have you seen it, Andy?
Were you excited for Spider-Man?
No, yeah. I was super excited for Spider-Man. Just, and I thought he actually portrayed him really good. I was surprised, you know, spoilers for everybody out there, but I was surprised that they had like a little back scene of Spider-Man. Kind of like Peter Parker and showing some interactions with Tony Stark. So that was pretty cool.
Didn't you like the hint of sexual tension between Aunt May and Tony Stark, man?
Oh, I would have had that tension too, man, because that's
the
one
hottest
of,
Aunt May you've ever seen.
Hell yeah, man. It was, what was her name? Marissa Tomei. Yeah, Marissa Tomei was Aunt May, and I was just like, holy shit, man. I'm like, who did this casting, man? I'm like, I like it, but man, it's not an Aunt May, but I'll roll with it.
I mean, well, he's a kid, right? Like,
yeah,
high school.
14, he's like a 15? Teenager, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, around there.
Yeah, but nah, man, it was good. The Spider-Man part was good. I actually liked the Black Panther stuff, too. Not that great, but it was still good. I liked all his action scenes, and then the final battle was really great as well in the airport, you know, with Ant-Man and all the Hawkeye and all the rest of the characters just kind of battling, and it was good, man. It was a good ending battle.
The only thing I didn't like about that movie was I didn't like the Black Panther thing. I thought it was just they threw him in there, and then there's no real bad guy that I know who the guy Baron Zemo was. Like in the comics, he's like a big deal. In the movie, he's just like a side note. Like, it's a guy they have to go after. And, like, but the big thing was, like, Tony and Cap and Bucky. And, like, that, like, there's just, like, a lot of infighting between them and all that other stuff. But there was, like, that's my only issue with that movie was, like, there's no bad guy.
Yeah, and the movie kind of hints to it as well, I think. Because when the final plot is, or the final little twist is revealed, the villain that you were mentioning, Andy, he kind of even says it, you know, I'm not here to destroy Captain and Iron Man. I'm just here to plant the seed for them to destroy themselves from within.
Yeah.
And that's the whole premise of the Civil War, where both Captain and Iron Man are kind of fighting against each other. But you're right, there is no main bad guy that there's, you know, this revelation, like, all right, we got to quit fighting against amongst each other and let's team up so we can beat up this main bad guy. And yeah, there was none of that in this movie.
I mean, but overall, it's a good movie. It's a popcorn movie. There's nothing like...
No, yeah, there was nothing wrong with it.
Breathtaking or social commentary. It's just, it's a bunch of superheroes fighting each other. And with a great story instead with Tony and Captain America, you know, having their issues. And that's a great part. Like, how long you think they're going to let us do what we're doing without the government saying enough or we need something? Like, he's like, it was going to happen. And Cap, you know, he has his issues. Like, screw this, man. Like, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, but other than that, I think it was a good movie.
I think where the movie kind of misstepped, I kind of read a little bit of the comics of the original Civil War. Right now, they're actually rehashing a lot of the Civil War stuff. It's called Civil War II in the comic book universe. But the original Civil War, the reason why it happened was that the Incredible Hulk kind of went on a rampage and they exiled him to another planet. And that's where the Planet Hulk series took off because he got exiled and became like this king on another planet. And there was another little spinoff over there. But to me, that would have been a great scene to see where the Hulk kind of goes on a rampage. and they do something. Maybe not ship them off to another planet, but they do something to kind of hold Banner at bay. Because he just disappears in this movie, and he doesn't show up, and they kind of just hint that he just ran away.
Yeah, like no one knows where he is. He's like, no, we don't know where this atomic weapon or something. Like, how the hell can we not know where he is? Yeah, and I think somebody says they can know where he's at.
Yeah, I mean, I think like that Black Widow or somebody hinted like, I know
where. Don't worry, I know where he's at.
Yeah.
We need to know too or something.
Because there was another character that also ran away. I don't know if it was Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
Because he didn't really show up until the very end. So those are the two characters that they were insinuating. Oh, no, Thor was the other one as well.
Thor was handling business in Asgard.
They're like, Thor, Hulk, and Hawkeye, they just disappeared. And it's just like, where are they? And it's just like, well, you know, we kind of know where they're at, but, you know, they're not here.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a good piece that should have been inserted, and it kind of give a little backstory to where the Hulk is. And then you could kind of sell Thor's going off to handle, you know, his world's problems or whatever. But yeah, it was a piece that I thought that was missing. And for all you comic book geeks right now, Civil War II, real interesting thread, man. Spoilers. But the Hulk, or I should say better, Bruce Banner, is actually killed in the comic books.
Damn.
And they finally killed him. And it was actually Hawkeye that ended up killing him. There was supposedly some superhero or something that can have like visions of future events that will happen. And I guess in one of these visions, he sees the Hulk going on a murderous rampage, killing, you know, thousands of people or whatever. So they confront the Hulk or Bruce Banner and tell him, hey, you know, we saw these visions, you know, what's going on? And they, you know, a Beast, I believe, from the X-Men searches into his private files and finds that he's been experimenting and injecting himself with radiation. And so everybody's kind of getting in a ruckus. Everybody's talking all loud and, you know, not really, you know, getting too excited. And then the next thing you notice is Hawkeye comes in and just shoots him with an arrow down the forehead and just kills him. And so, you know, Bruce Banner is dead. And, you know, it's the whole aftermath of, you know, him taking the law in his hands.
Nah, man, Dr. Strange will bring him back. Wow.
maybe, yeah. But
man, that movie's coming out. That's going to be good.
Yeah, yeah. I know a lot of people are excited about that. So, yeah, Captain America. It was a good movie. I know the comic books are getting really excited over this new Civil War. But, you know, it was a good movie. Not great. Not as much as people, I thought, were hyping it. So, maybe it kind of goes into what I usually don't like to do for movies. I don't like to listen to a lot of opinions. I don't like to listen to a lot of reviews. Because I want to go in fresh and not have that, you know, seed in my head. And that was one of the problems with this movie. I thought this was going to be like the greatest movie ever. Everybody kept selling it to me. When I saw it, I was just like, yeah, it's good. But to me, it's not great. So, yeah, go out there and see it if you haven't seen it yet. The other thing I did this weekend is I went to my cousin's wedding. Angel got married this weekend, went to the wedding. Right. Good time, man. It was a good church. A little on the long side for me, you know. It was a whole mass thing, so it was like a good hour and a half, 2 hour
Catholic
mass.
One?
Yeah, it was a Catholic.
Did they have the
La Hostia? Yeah.
Did you get it, man?
No, I didn't go up there. Junior asked me. He's like, "What are they doing? Why are they going up there?" And I'm like, "Oh, they're eating bread." And he's just like, "I'm hungry. Can I get some bread?" And I'm like, "Nah, buddy. We gotta do some more rules before we can go up there and get some of that bread." So, yeah, I think I'm going to have a little talk with Junior about the body of Christ and all that stuff. But, yeah, the church was cool. It was a nice church. And then the reception was also awesome. We went there before for other weddings. It was a great venue at the Four Corners in Sheridan, right there in Irvin Park in Mannheim. And it was great, man. It was good music, man. A lot of that family is into old school house, so there was a lot of old school house music, and man, it was cool, man. Some good jamoning, nice. Some percolator, and all
had,
that stuff.
They had jamoning like repeat, man. Just
yeah. Well, my cousin's also a DJ,
right?
And so he was DJing my other cousin's wedding. So yeah, he was playing some good music, you know, playing all kinds of music, not just jamoning and stuff like that, but. It was cool, man. It was a real good time. Got a chance to see some family, man, that I haven't seen in a long, long time. I don't really get to see my dad's side too often since they live in the city. And most of my mom's side of the family live over here in the suburbs closer to us. So, yeah, man, it was really cool seeing everybody. I'm really glad I got a chance to go out there and just, you know, just put some faces to those names that I haven't seen in a long, long time, man. So, yeah, it was a good time, man. Good drinks. Food was all right, but, you know, the company made up for it, man. It was a good time with the family for sure.
Was there Cristal on every table, man?
The usual, like red wine and white wine and stuff like that.
How many bottles you bring home?
I brought home one bottle that they had extra. I did bring it home. Well, they leave them there. They're going to toss them out. They're going to just, you know, throw them out. So I brought it home. And it was actually a funny thing on the table. We were talking about it because at Saul's wedding, there was like 10 bottles left over. And I told Lana, I'm like, man, this is some great wine, man. We can't leave all this shit here, man. And
it was
Moscato,
right?
Yeah, it was Moscato wines. And I'm like, and I don't know if Saul's planning to take it. You know, he's all in, you know, happy land because he just got married. He's probably just going to be like, well, whatever, dump them. Or if nobody grabs them, just throw them away. So, shit, man, I brought them all home, man. I brought all those bottles home, and I've been slowly drinking it. I don't know how long Saul's been married, but I got to guess like 3 years now, 2 years, 3 years. And I just barely finished their last bottle. Like last week, we had some dinner, and Alana cracked over the last bottle that we had taken from their wedding. And, man, it was great, man.
That's good. I had some, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was some good wine. So, yeah, man, just again, had a great time at Angel's Wedding. Thank you for inviting me. If he's listening out there, man, and it was a good time, man. Hopefully we'll get together again soon. You know, unfortunately, the whole family doesn't usually get together too often, you know, usually for weddings and funerals. So hopefully the next time is not a funeral and we get a chance to get together and you know, break some bread with some of the family. But jumping into the week, the topic for this week, man, speaking of breaking bread and food, we're going to talk about vegetarians and vegans and some of the differences, pluses and minuses of both. I know you were kind of mentioning, Noel, about juicing and getting back into that and possibly getting into vegetarian. I know Alana did it for a while. She was a vegetarian for a while. She slowly ate, you know, just veggies and whatever other cheat food it was. I forget what it is, but I know the article goes into it. But I got to be honest, Noel, you're the one that kind of brought this to the table, and I didn't know too much about it, man. You know, I kind of just knew the basic myths or the things that general people know, but I didn't know all the specifics, and it was real interesting to kind of read these articles and get enlightened a little bit about this.
Yeah, I had a few thoughts about this before. I didn't know if I should bring it or not. I know, like, all of us, we eat meat and we enjoy having our steak and, you know, our veggies too, but we're mainly meat eaters. I would say we're more omnivores, but with this, it started with Joe Rogan. I actually saw his podcast recently, and in the podcast, he kind of talks about vegans and the movement that they're trying to bring about. And there's some extremists, right? And there's some, you know, just people that enjoy the diet. And he's mainly talking about the extremists and their claims. You know, they're making it seem like people who eat meat are bad people. You know, like, there's more than just the health implications. There's also the ethical implication. And so it got me thinking, you know, I'm watching this podcast and I want to be more informed. So I figured it'd be something that we could do some research on and maybe talk about on the show. And here we are. You know, we have a few articles here to talk about. And there's a few benefits to the vegan diet. Even in the there's both sides, right? There's people that argue for it and argue against it, but even the people that argue against it say that it's still a well-balanced diet for certain individuals. But it all depends on what you're eating when it's time to consume meat. So, you know, just to kind of get into it, there's an article here, a 2011 article about vegetarians and vegan and the stats and how many people in the United States are actually a part of this this group, I guess.
Yeah, for sure, man. It said, to put into perspective, that 33% of people out there eat mostly veggies. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, maybe I'm somewhat in that group, maybe not as much, but I am a big veggie eater. Veggies are kind of expensive, so I don't buy as much as I'd like to. But when I do go out, if I go out and eat, you know, I definitely enjoy, you know, green beans on the side and some salad or you know, whatever.
That pinto beans, man.
Yeah, or pinto beans, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, 33%. That to me, that's a big chunk, man. That's a big chunk of people that mostly eat veggies.
That's their whole, like, diet is just eating vegetables?
No, mostly eat veggies. Yeah. So, like, you know, more than 50% of your diet is vegetables.
Right.
Yeah. So pescatarians could probably fit into here. You know, they eat mostly vegetables, but they have, like, fish and stuff like that.
And then it said 5% of those people are vegetarians. So 5% of that 33% are vegetarians, and they eat what vegetarians are usually allowed to eat, which is another thing that we'll probably get into, the uniqueness of vegetarian versus vegans. And out of those 5%, 2.5% are actually vegans, which Joe Rogan, like you said, you were mentioning, I thought it was funny on that podcast or on the stand-up comedy bit that you forwarded to me. But it was funny, man. It was how these vegans think they're almighty and they got like these superpowers because, you know, they're, you know, super vegans or whatever it was. And it was funny. And I know some movies make fun of it. I forget what the name of that movie is. Shit, it's eluding me now. But some video game, you know, movie adaptation. And they make fun of it because one of the bad guys that he has to fight is a vegan, and he's got like he's got like this super aura that he fights with, and he has to fight against the vegan, and then to end up beating him, he gives him something to eat, and then he then realizes that it was made out of dairy, and then that's like the kryptonite that beat him, and then he was able to beat him at the fight anyways.
I got
to
see this,
man. Yeah, it was pretty funny to watch that fight. But yeah, it was really unique to see the big differences, like you said, with the vegans and the vegetarians.
Yeah, Joe Rogan, he did have the stand-up. That's one of the links I sent you. It's kind of a funny take on it. But he also has, you know, research that he does, and he does, like, talk about it in a serious tone. He's actually a hunter, and in one of the links that we'll include, he has, like, a YouTube video where he talks about it, his, you know, journey into the wild. And he said that when he went out there, he wanted to decide, you know, he's like, I'm going to decide now whether or not I become a vegan or whether or not I become a hunter. And he decided he wants to go hunting. After the experience he had, after what he saw that the animals go through, the harsh life that they live, and what it means to catch your own food, hunt it, and have it sustain you for months, you know, what it means to do that, he decided that that was the route to go. And it brings to light a lot of different issues, not just the health issue, the ethical issue. Mainly their argument is that when you kill an animal, obviously it's taking the life away of the animal, and or when you eat the animal, I should say, it's taking the life away. And so they say that's kind of the reason that they want to be vegans, is they don't want to harm animals. But the way, what they're, you know, kind of being convenient about is that they don't see plants as living, you know, or as sentient is what the word is. And there's a lot of arguments for it, against it. But what science is catching up now is that it's proving that plants do have sentience. They do have an ability and an awareness. They do have a way of communicating with each other and animals as well. And it's kind of unique. We have more articles to go through, but, you know, we'll put up links and have people read it on their own, because we have a limited amount of time here. There's so much information to get through. So we'll kind of get started in this next article. There, it kind of talks about the benefits of being
real
vegan.
Quick, now, do you think plants have feelings, or like it's an animal, or do you just think it's...
Plants definitely have feelings, man. It's not the way people would see, but it's like, let's say you treat a plant bad, you don't water it, you don't... You kind of
neglect it,
or you provide negative stimulus to it. It's been shown to, you know, wither and die. Whereas, for example, my mom is big on gardening. She not only waters her plants, not only dedicates time, but she also loves them. Like, she has an actual appreciation for them. She talks to them, like, in a loving way. And not like a have a conversation. Obviously, it's a one-ended conversation. But she'll provide positive stimulus to that.
Positive vibes.
And it grows, and it shows, you know. Like, I put up a post the other week and took pictures, and it shows, man. Like, it grows and it flourishes and it blooms quicker. It's been proven in science, you know, that it does respond to outside sources. It actually has on the tips of its leaves cells that are very similar to human neurons, and it receives information and it responds accordingly. Joe Rogan even talks about in his podcast that in Africa, I think they did a study where they found that plants, like let's say a giraffe is eating a plant from a tree or something, those plants will send signals to other plants down the stream
and tell it to get bitter or something, right?
Tell it to get bitter to be a defense mechanism for these giraffes that are coming on their way. And that's a way to communicate, though. That's sentience, you know. Even if we can't understand it, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And apart from that, another argument was, well, you know, plants don't feel pain. But that's BS, too, because plants do have feelings. They do actually show that there's a frequency that we can't hear, but they emit when they're being killed.
Yeah, it's kind of like the visual spectrum. There's ultraviolet lights and other lights that we can't visibly see that we need equipment to see. And similarly, there's audio. And like you mentioned, there's just an audio tone that the veggies give out when they're being cut. And it's something that's audible that you can hear, not through our, you know, naked ears. But yeah, with some equipment, you could for sure hear it.
And it's crazy because, well, there's arguments that when you do it with animals, you have these farms and, you know, they slaughter them and it's really crowded and they get shot with hormones and all this stuff. But you see the same thing happening with plants. And when you have vegetables, you have big farms, they have pesticides, and they have everything added to them so that they can grow quicker, especially if you look at Monsanto. And that's a whole other argument in itself. But it's not so much, I think, that it's animals that should be spared. It's that the method of farming should be changed. So
I think so, for sure. And kind of to, you know, before we get carried on here, when you first sent me all these articles, it was funny, man. I was in the garden and I was pulling out weeds because there were some weeds by my plant bed, mm-hmm. Where I got my veggies, my tomatoes and stuff. And I was cleaning out all these weeds and like these grass pieces that were kind of growing in there. And I got the batch of articles that you were sending, you know, for like, hey, this is a topic I want to talk about, blah, 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 blah. So it was funny, man, because at that moment when I was pulling out those weeds, that thought had crossed my head. I'm like, I wonder if these weeds are feeling what I'm doing to it right now. I wonder if they can feel that I'm pulling them out of the root because I don't want them to grow here. And I wonder if they're pissed off or feeling anything in this. I didn't put much thought about it. You know, I didn't get, you know, all tree huggy or anything like that. Like, oh, let me leave this bean here. You know, it's in my way. It's not supposed to be here. It's harming my other plants in my garden. But at that moment, I did have that thought. And it was just something that quickly passed through my head. And then I got all these articles that you wanted to talk about. And it was funny. Like, it was right at that moment. And it was just something that I thought was kind of weird.
Yeah, you were telling me, too, that well, we were kind of proving how plants do have like an adaptability, and you were telling me that you were having like a plant that you would like move every so often because
The
sunlight hit it in a certain way that it couldn't always get it, so it had to, it had to grow a certain way?
Yeah, at my work, I got a plant that my mom gave me, and I got it up on a file cabinet, and the light source is actually not directly above it. It's a halogen light, but it's kind of a little ways, and if I leave that plant there for 2 weeks, say, all the leaves start pointing in the direction of the halogen light or the light source. Mm-hmm. So I have to constantly rotate this plant because it'll start overgrowing on one side of it where all the leaves are trying to reach over to try to get more light to get, you know, to feed itself. And so I have to rotate the plant constantly so that it evenly grows throughout. Because it is getting bigger and this plant is just getting huge. And so I'm constantly shifting it around just to keep it evenly throughout. So I always thought that was something kind of neat and something really unique where these plants strive to survive and they want to expand and grow. And maybe they have feelings towards the little leaflets and they're like, oh, these are my kids. I got to get food for my kids. So, you know, they reach out as far as they can, kind of even overextending their growth and reaching out. And it looks really, really cool, man.
Yeah, when you told me the story, it got me thinking, like, is there intelligence in plants? And actually, science is catching up, like I said. There's actually studies that have been done that plants recognize their relatives and purposefully will not grow farther than they need to so that the relatives have an equal amount of room to grow. Versus if you put a plant next to a plant that's not related, just like two mm-hmm. random ones, the one that's dominant, or the alpha plant, I guess you could say, tries to outgrow, and it spreads its roots farther. It doesn't care. So it kind of shows, you know, recognition of its relatives. That's intelligence to me. So,
oh, yeah.
That's kind of the ethical argument, you know. And we have an article here that it's more about the health implications.
No, yeah. Kind of going over some of the vegan vegetarian differences here in one of our articles. The big difference between a vegetarian and a vegan is the consumption of eggs and dairy or even honey. So vegans do not consume any of that stuff. They also even go as far as not using anything with animal products or byproducts, fur, leather, silk, wool, cosmetics, soaps that are derived from animal products. Because I know a lot of soaps are made from, I think, like pig fat and stuff like that. So a lot of that stuff they do not use. And they avoid, otherwise they lose their vegan super status that they get. But yeah, man, a lot of people who are vegans, they claim that, like you mentioned, Noel, the animal rights, they don't want to kill the animals. They're being killed, you know, kind of nasty. I have seen some of these animal farms and it is kind of brutal. But it's a cost of us wanting, you know, dollar McNuggets, you know, this is something that we got to deal with, you know, unless people are willing to pay $5 for a McNugget meal, you know, it's something you got to deal with sometimes.
It's a large population to feed, so it sucks the way it happens. It should definitely be changed and regulated, but you can't really feed a whole entire population with meat without having some kind of farming in place.
Yeah, the number two here was the livestock environment. Kind of devastates the ground, fertilization harms the environment, harms the water. So their other big argument is the environment, man, that it really jacks up the environment. Even like you said, like all these plants, they're really mass producing everything. So it sucks up all the nutrients in the ground and it, you know, until a volcano explodes or whatever, and it kind of refertilizes the whole ground. You know, some of these places where they do mass farmings or animal harvesting, they become barren where they can't even grow anything on there because that plot of land is demolished and you can't do anything with it. So it's terrible.
I mean, us as human beings, is like we could make food. We don't really need animals if we think about it. But it'd be, you have a lot of pissed off people. Like, there's like, look at like ramen noodles and like, that's all man-made crap. I mean, it's, we could make our own food. It'd just be processed to hell. And it'd just be, I think we'd be worse off if we didn't eat animals or plant or vegetables or so forth.
What about the GMOs, man?
That's another thing. That's another big debate. Now you're starting to see, I don't know, we'll talk about it, that GMOs may not be that bad, but...
Well, it depends on who's doing it.
Yeah, you know? But when you got, like, one of the biggest companies in the world, you know, they can kind of manipulate stuff, but, I mean, we really don't know too much about it, but that's where I see the world's going to go through. It's like, I always thought we were going to run out of food. We're not going to run out of food. It's just what we consume is going to be different. So it might be, like, we could still get a steak, we could still get certain things, it's just... Are we willing to pay for it, or, like, otherwise we're gonna have like super processed foods, like if you ever seen Soylent Green stuff, like movies like that, it's just a processed food you can live off of, but it's not real food.
Yeah, I know. Right now in Congress, they're thinking about expanding the labeling of GMO stuff, and I know that's kind of spinning into a different part of this, but yeah, I know. A lot of that genetically engineered food, people are against it. So yeah, for sure, they're expanding the labeling to kind of make it pop and make people aware of foods that are genetically enhanced. But if you don't like GMOs, man, then I don't think you're gonna like seedless watermelons. Because guess what, man? When you grow a watermelon, seeds come with it. So if you want seedless watermelon, you're supporting GMOs. You're supporting all that genetically engineered food, man. That's what it is.
As long as they do it right without hormones and cancer-causing chemicals, you know, I'm all for it. But unfortunately, it comes with it, and that's something I'm not for.
Getting back to the article real quick with the vegan and vegetarians, I didn't know much about it. I mean, until I got a little bit older. But, yeah, there's I know some vegetarians. I dated some vegetarians, but I didn't know what the big difference between them were.
Were they healthy people, Andy?
Nah, that's what I'm saying. A lot of them were either like frail or really thin looking or
sickly looking, Andy.
Yeah, poorly, as they used to say in the old days. They looked poorly, and or they were overweight because they ate a lot of crap, but they didn't eat meat. Because, you know, we used to tell us, you know, eating meat doesn't make you fat. It's the stuff that you eat, like breads and all this stuff. But some of the vegetarians, they eat a lot of like chocolate and pastas and bread, and they were overweight. I mean, I'm trying to be nice here, but they didn't look healthy.
And that's the big myth about being vegan and vegetarians, is that you're going to be healthy just because you follow this diet. But it depends on how strict you are with this diet.
Yeah.
Not so much on the veggies, but what you cut out. And, well, I have another article here. It has 11 common myths and about vegan diets. And the first one is that the health benefits of vegan diets are due to avoiding animal foods. But really, that's more of a myth than anything, because in reality, what they're avoiding, aside from meat, is refined sugar.
Yeah.
Which that causes insulin resistance and a fatty liver. They reduce refined grains, vegetable oils, and trans fats. And all those things have been known to be really harmful. So the bottom line for that is that the health benefits of vegan diets are likely caused by the elimination of harmful ingredients in processed foods. And it has nothing to really do with unprocessed animal foods. So a person like Joe Rogan, who goes and hunts his elk and is eating unprocessed, organic, like official food, he's not going to, you know, get these negative effects like people that get, you know, farmed food and farmed meat.
Another thing I saw that was kind of interesting, Noel, not to sidetrack you, but that vegans have a higher tendency to be deficient in some vitamins, that like some B12s, iron, and some other goofy vitamins they're deficient because of their veggies, solely eating veggies and stuff.
Yeah, it was funny. When I was looking up some articles, I was looking up these, but I was also looking up to actually become, like, start this diet, and I saw that they recommend that you take supplements to make up for these, and I'm like, oh, what the hell? Like, oh, I guess it's not everything then, huh?
Yeah, so I guess this diet's not that great if you got to take supplements with it.
So it got me to kind of think a little bit. I mean, I take supplements anyway, but to need to do that is not good. You definitely want to have all your nutrients through food, and then, you know, have supplements as kind of a... just a backup.
Yeah, backup, or merely fill in like the small gaps that you might miss out. But no, not definitely because you're deficient in it, because your body is like craving it and you're not giving it. And so, yeah, that I thought that was really weird. But sorry to sidetrack you, man. Give us some more on that article.
Yeah, so it's number two. It says saturated fat and cholesterol are harmful substances. And, well, it's actually been one of those myths that say that saturated fat, you know, causes heart disease and things like that. When actually there isn't much of an association with saturated fat and cholesterol causing heart disease. It actually shows that in certain studies can improve blood cholesterol profile. Saturated fat and cholesterol raise HDL and sometimes can lower LDLs from being the small, dense ones to being larger size LDLs, which actually will lower your risk of heart disease. So the bottom line is there's really not much of an association with heart disease and saturated fat, and that's more of a myth, unfortunately, for vegans. Number three, the vegan diet is the only diet proven to reverse heart disease. And while the studies did show that vegan diet will help reverse heart disease, it does have really good benefits. It's not the only diet that can do that. And most of the time, the studies that they showed, It included people that started exercising, people that stopped smoking, and started eating a whole plant food-based diet. So it's whole foods in general, organic foods, is going to definitely decrease your risk of cancer and heart disease. So that, combined with, you know, the pills that they take, the drugs to lower cholesterol, combined with exercise and quitting smoking, that's what's going to really keep you from getting heart disease and cancer, not the diet specifically.
Yeah, if they really wanted to claim that it was the diet or whatever, then they need to keep the other values in their life to kind of just isolate the diet, you know, being the cause of the reduction.
And number four, the China study. There's a study done, and not to go too much information on that, pretty much what the bottom line is for that is the China study has been thoroughly debunked by objective scientists, and there are multiple high-quality studies that contradict its findings, all of which were ignored by the author. So if you get a chance to look it up, the China study, it's pretty much just, I don't want to say it harshly, but it's BS. You know, you look up a bunch of different studies, a lot of things contradict it, so it doesn't hold as much weight anymore.
And granted, even this article, I could find probably another article that says the 10 truths about being a vegan. So for all this stuff, man, just go out there and really do your research, dig into it. We're talking about, you know, if, you know, three or four articles that we found, but, you know, definitely there's probably three or four that maybe show the opposite. So there's a lot of misinformation. You know, educate yourself and go out there and try to find as much as you can before you make drastic changes to your diet.
Okay, and number five, animal protein is harmful. The bottom line for that is that despite the myth that animal protein causes harm, studies show that it leads to health benefits. This includes weight loss, improved bone health, lower blood pressure, and reduced symptoms of diabetes. Now, the thing is, animal protein covers a whole wide array. It covers processed and unprocessed. When you have unprocessed, that's going to be the healthy one. That's going to be the one you want to eat. Now, unfortunately, most of the meat that we get is, you know, comes from processed farms. And that's what this whole thing got me to think about. It got me to think about how I get the food that I get, how I get the meat, and it started making me want to be a hunter, dude. Like, want to go out and literally get my own food, because it brings to light a lot of things. And ultimately, I think if we all were more health conscious, did more research on the food that we eat, I think we'd all lead healthier lives and maybe take control of all this, I would say, corruption and the way that things are farmed. You know, obviously everyone wants to make money, so you want to be cost effective. But the methods they're doing right now for both vegetables and fruit farming, as well as animal farming, they need to be changed drastically.
Real quick, Alex, like you said earlier, you want it quick and fast. You don't have time to prepare it, or not waste time, but prepare it and cook it, and like you want it there. And what the fast food industry offers that quickly and affordable. So that's your biggest competition. And also in past episodes, we talked about, I think this year was the first time that people on money they spent on food was the first time they actually spent more money to go out and eat, instead of going to the grocery store. So that's a big shift of the American society. Just they'd rather go out and eat and not cook at home. And they're not seeing, like, everything that you're talking about, you know, food or what type of food they're buying. Because,
no, and that's a big reason why heart disease is rising, dude. Why cancer rates are rising.
Diabetes, all that stuff, man.
This whole, you know, discussion got me thinking about, or the lead up to the discussion, got me thinking about how I get my food and what I'm doing. And I'm doing more research now on what I eat. I actually haven't eaten fast food in quite some time, dude. I haven't gone to Wendy's or McDonald's in over a month, man, maybe longer. It's been a while, and honestly, I don't crave it anymore. I think after I kicked that hormone addiction, whatever they have in there, I stopped wanting to get those double cheeseburgers and shit. And
yeah, but kind of like you were saying, man, it would be great to kind of hunt for your own food, go kill a deer or whatever. But it'd be difficult because we live in the city. It's difficult to, I'm sure you can go get one at the forest preserve, but licensing, you know, and then just people just being in the forest preserve. So to actually go to like a hunting ground, I'd imagine you have to move southern down Illinois if you want to stay in the state, or maybe just go to down to some southern states. I know there's a lot of hunting for game meat down there. And but living in the city here, you know, it'd be kind of difficult to go hunting and be like, all right, I'm getting a little low on deer meat. Let me go hunt another deer.
Or even as an alternative, like there's certain farms that, you know, feed their animals right. They have like a, I don't know what's called exactly the term, free range maybe?
Yeah, free range food.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's alternatives out there. That's maybe another thing I can look at. Go to a farm and be like, hey, can we strike up a deal? I know it'll cost me more money, but in the end, I'll feel better, not only ethically, but like health-wise.
There's places in Wisconsin that will let you, like you said, they feed the animals right, and they'll kill the cow for you, and they'll butcher it for you, offer like a big fee. And then you'll have food for like the next basically year.
Joe Rogan, when he goes hunts for an elk, he does that same thing.
There's farms like that in Wisconsin where you can buy like I don't know how big cows get, like 400 or 500 pounds, maybe more, 1,000 pounds.
That'll feed a family.
Dude, they'll cut it, they'll butcher it for you, they'll prepare the steaks, they'll make it into ground beef, as much ground beef as you want. You pay all that's included in the fee, and you can negotiate depending how big you want the cow or how fat you want it or if you want it fed a certain way.
And you just freeze it and keep it.
And then you get a big freezer and just you got steaks and filet mignon forever.
Yeah. How much Manolo's in there, man?
You got to make sure they clean it, you know, because I don't know how good they are about, you know, at a local farm, how much they actually do. Because I don't think they get a lot of need for that, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, compared to like pigs and chicken, I think beef is probably the way to go to not be so worried about, you know, bacteria and stuff like that. But getting back into this, not too much more here, is number 6. Humans are not designed to eat animals. Now, there's a lot of studies that were done, but in the bottom line, humans are naturally omnivores and function best by eating a combination of animals and plants. And this is reflected in the anatomy of the digestive system. Now, if you read this article, it has a lot more information than what I'm giving you. I'm just giving you the bottom line. So when you get a chance to read this whole article, it has a lot more information that goes in depth. Number 7, meat causes heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. The bottom line, studies that differentiate between processed and unprocessed meat show that unprocessed red meat is not associated with heart disease and diabetes, and only weakly linked to cancer in men, but not in women. That sucks for us. But number 8, vegetarians and vegans live longer and have a lower risk of killer diseases. Now, the bottom line for that is the observational studies showing that vegetarians and vegans are healthier are plagued by healthy user bias. Studies that control for health consciousness show no effect. So mainly what it's talking about is that vegans, not only do they eat healthy, but they have like just a general consciousness of what they put in their food, in their mouths, you know, what they feed themselves, versus more people that aren't very educated. They don't do their research. They just kind of go and shop for what they want, what their taste palate craves. And vegans are more conscious about organics and being whole foods, whole wheat, things like that.
I know that's the way I go. If I got a taste for a gyro, I just go, give me a gyro.
Like throwing the extra gyro sauce on that bitch.
So I could definitely hear that. And it kind of goes to, like you were saying, like the fast food. Once you kick that, you know, ingredients or whatever it is that you crave for, you know, that mac and Cheetos or whatever that flavor was that really had a hook into you. As soon as you kick that flavor and get rid of it,
just sugar, dude. I remember real quick.
Sugar and salt, man, I think.
The sugar, like, when I got older, remember everybody's talking about sugar, sugar, sugar? Like, dude, fast food and processed food, they put sugar on freaking everything. Yeah. And it's, whenever I read on stuff, they put sugar on this and that, like, it's in everything. And I think that's probably like why we crave certain things, because sugar's a freaking drug, dude.
Yeah,
people crave that. And
Your body naturally does not need almost any sugar at all. I mean, your pancreas creates all that stuff for you, so you know, to put any of that stuff in your body, it's harmful.
Just natural sugars from natural foods is really all you need.
Yep.
Number 9, low carb diets will kill you. And they did research with Atkins groups and other groups. And the bottom line is, it is not true that low-carb diets are harmful. The only study that properly compared low-carb to low-fat vegetarian diets showed that the low-carb diet was much healthier.
I did the Atkins a couple years back. The only problem I had with that is...
couldn't shit right?
Yeah, your digestive gets turned into a whack, and they give you on tips on what you can eat to help with that. But a big part of it's when you go to the bathroom, dude, you're struggling, and it's not the best. That's the only issue I had with Atkins.
The besides, way?
pretty much.
If you have some pinto beans, dude, there's a lot of fiber.
But yeah, they tell you to eat like certain beans and peanuts and stuff, but still, dude, it's
and water. You have to
drink a lot of water. It's still that was my biggest issue with that when you go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I think with the Atkins too is like it restricts it. I think too much. I haven't really tried it myself, so I have to do more research.
You'll drop weight quickly if your goal is to lose weight. If you just eat meat and you once in a while you get a craving for like bread or pastas. But in general, the meat, you'll drop weight quickly because eating meat is, to me, it doesn't make you fat. And when you do that diet, you'll see the weight drop immediately.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I'm open to trying some different stuff, but I have to do more research on that one before I make a decision. Number 10, there's a lot of evidence behind vegan diets. Now, the bottom line for this one is that in the best controlled trial on vegan diets to date, there is very little difference compared to a typical diabetes diet that includes animal foods. So, unfortunately, there's not too many studies done on vegan diets compared to studies done for people that consume animals. And until we get more research on vegans, there's really not going to be enough to convince the whole population that vegan diets is the way to go. It actually, like we were talking about earlier, the deficiencies from the vegan diet shows that vitamin B12, 83% of vegans are deficient in B12 compared to 5% in omnivores. B12 deficiency can have serious consequences. Iron. In a study, vegetarians had only one-third of the ferritin, a marker for iron levels of omnivores. Vitamin D. Vitamin D levels are 74% lower in vegans compared to omnivores. And omega-3 fatty acids. Vegans have 53% lower levels of EPA and almost 59% lower levels of DHA compared to meat eaters. So, I mean,
man, no wonder some of these vegans, man, their weakness, man, because, you know, the acid, dude, the acid vitamin, that's what makes you strong as a bull, Andy. And if you're deficient in that, man, they're not bringing their game to their women's, man.
I know, man. That's they need something, man. They need some oysters or some shit. Oh, but they don't eat that. They don't eat fish or seafood.
I think ultimately, after reading all this stuff, I still have to do more research. I want to have as much information as possible. But this is a good chunk of information we kind of bit into, and from everything that I've read, everything that we kind of discussed. I think as long as people are conscious about what they eat, they go for a whole foods diet, they go for organic, and you get unprocessed red meat or, other kind of meat, I think that's the way to go. That's the way to lead a healthy life. A balanced omnivore diet is going to probably prolong your life versus reduce it.
No, for sure, man. And like you said, man, there's tons of information out there for this, man. So, yeah. Go bite into it, man. Read these articles we're going to post onto the links. And, man, get educated, man, especially when it comes to your diet, man. Try to eat better. The way my dad always said, for everything in life, man, everything with moderation. So, just eat well. Do the best you can. Go out there, get that double cheeseburger every now and then. But it's every now and then. It's not an everyday food that you're going to eat, Monday through Friday kind of thing.
But every other day.
And every other day is fine.
To each their own, I mean, you might not agree with what we're saying here. You might, be like, I'm going to be a vegan no matter what you say. And that's fine. Honestly, I hold no ill will towards anybody. Ultimately, this is a circle of life. If you want to live, you got to take life, unfortunately. And, you enjoy your salad. You enjoy cleaning your plants. I'll enjoy killing my cow and I'll enjoy a little cheeseburger, too.
For sure, man, for sure. Just for all of you out there that was interested, I checked into it. The movie I was talking about was Scott Pilgrim versus the World. It's an adaptation of...
It's a comic book.
Yeah, it's a comic book that was made into a video game that was then made into a movie. And they have that vegan scene that was kind of funny.
I got to check it out.
But that's about all the time we got for you guys today, man. We'd really like to thank you all for tuning in and listening. Continue to tune in, giving us your feedback at ffnquestions@gmail.com. Also visit us at Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Visit our buddies as well at 1893 Coalition, consisting of ourselves, Intellectual Nonsense, and the Enthusiast Project. Continue to visit our webpage at freeformnetwork.podbean.com. Hit that like button on all those links, whatever services you use, hit that like button. hit that subscribe button. You'll never miss an episode, and you'll catch into all of our great conversation that we're having. But again, for Freeform Radio, my name is Daniel.
Hungry Andy.
And Noel.
We'd like to thank you all for listening. Enjoy your week, and we will see you all next time.
Dad.